This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon. It is actually Greg Smith jumping in for Linda today, who jumped in for Patty this morning, and we thank her for doing that. A great open line edition this morning on this Thursday, which Brian just mentioned. Yes, that rain has arrived here in the capital city. Sitting in today and very happy to do so, actually, with the conversation that we are about to share with you. Obviously, a very important message. One in five people suffer from mental health and addictions issues, countless more profoundly affected. And Dollar a Day is one of those organizations that are looking to help change that. Dollar a Day Foundation, of course, has been on the go now for a number of years. They support a number of mental health and addictions programs throughout the country. And in partnership right here in Newfoundland and Labrador, they have actually partnered up with the St. John's Regional Fire Department and the IAFF Local 1075 for a program known as Fighting Chance. And there's an event coming up this weekend that we are proud to be behind here at VOCM called Raise the Bucket, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. Let's go right to our phones, though, and welcome our guests for the afternoon. We'll say good afternoon first to Craig Smith, President, International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075. Good afternoon, Craig.
Good afternoon, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for joining us today. And on the other line, Fire Chief Sherry Colford with the St. John's Regional Fire Department. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you both for being here. Obviously, you guys as firefighters step up for our community members time and time again. This weekend, we're asking folks to help step up for you. It's our time to do that. I guess the first thing we need to dive into is Fighting Chance, this program in partnership with A Dollar a Day. Craig, I'll go to you first. Give us a bit of background on this program.
Dollar a Day actually reached out to us approximately 3 years ago, and when I say us, I mean the association and the fire department. And they had we had met with them, and they basically advised us of what the program is and what their mission would be locally and nationally. And when it was described to us, but they're a nonprofit organization, they want to give back to the community in addictions and mental health areas. Which is something that we've been trying to be strong advocates for the last few years. Between the chief and myself and our association, through discussions and meetings, we thought it was a great opportunity for us to be able to help support our mission. And our mission is to, one thing is to help those suffering with mental health or addictions issues, in particularly our members and our firefighters, but also to help support the mental health advocation and removing stigma in the community and within our profession. And, us being the leaders in the fire service, we felt it was really important for us to be involved in this because, we oftentimes see ourselves as community leaders. And I'm proud to say that the fire department firefighters are well respected within our community for all the numerous events and things that they do. And we felt that this was a prime opportunity to jump on board with a great organization and help our advocation against mental health and stigma surrounding that.
Now, Sherry, obviously, mental health and addictions, the conversation has grown a bit over recent years. There's still a lot to talk about and still more to come. But having a foundation like Dollar a Day, it's led by a heavy hitter leadership group from Nicole and Brendan and Alan and the entire team there. To have their support behind you guys must feel pretty special.
Yeah, we were pretty excited when they first came to us. As you can imagine, we have a number of organizations that ask us to partner with them on certain topics or, to advocate for certain things. And it's kind of hard to do it for everything. But when A Dollar a Day came to us, and myself and Craig had already, had the conversation about mental health support within the department, it was such a prime time to be able to partner with A Dollar a Day because, I even mentioned the peer support program that we've partnered with IFF, with Craig Smith and his team. They've done such a great job in building their own peer support that, this allowed us to bring somebody in from the outside that we can say, hey, like Craig said, our firefighters are there for people every day, and you know, they see the challenges in the community with mental health, and obviously on some of the calls that they go on, they have to deal with that. This will help them understand that, but also be able to recognize it within themselves and to know how they can reach out and get help. So while we were trying to do that in-house and figure out the best way we could do it, along with, you know, our EAP program and our critical incident stress management and peer support program, now we have an avenue outside in the public that can help us get that message out to the public as well.
We've got Craig Smith, the president of the International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075, and Fire Chief Sherry Colford with the St. John's Regional Fire Department joining us here this afternoon on Target St. John's. A great event happening this weekend called Raise the Bucket. It's all in support of Fighting Chance through Dollar a Day Foundation. When we get back, we'll actually talk a bit more about some of the needs within the department and give you a bit more insight on what you will be supporting on Sunday. Back in a moment here on Target St. John's.
Saturday morning, join us for the Irish Newfoundland Show. Send your request to irishnl@vocm.com or submit them online at vocm.com.
And it is Greg Smith jumping in for Linda Swain here this afternoon for On Target. Now, this Sunday, if you look way up in the sky, you might see me, Patty Daly, some community leaders, first responders, way up in the sky, up in the bucket of a fire truck as we try to raise some funds for a very worthy cause. Dollar a Day's Fighting Chance program in partnership with St. John's Regional Fire Department and the IAFF Local 1075. This is a mental health and addictions care program. And Craig Smith joins us on the line. He's the president, International Association of Firefighters, the Local 1075, and Fire Chief Sherry Colford with the St. John's Regional Fire Department. Craig, we'll go back to you first. Maybe we've talked a bit about it when it comes to in-house and maybe some the mental health effects on members. I know when it comes to going to some of these calls that you guys get, they can't always be easy, and you don't leave it at the scene. You take it back with you to the fire station, back home, and you're also dealing with a lot of mental health crisis too when you arrive on scene. So just talk us through maybe some insight on your members, the issues they're facing around mental health.
Greg, I'm with the behavioral health and wellness within the fire service. It's been a growing concern about behavioral health issues and the significant impact on wellness. And the stresses faced by firefighters throughout the course of their careers with incidents involving children, violence, and the inherent dangers of the firefighting itself, you know, it has potentially traumatic events, and it has a cumulative effect on our mental health and our well-being. Our international invests a great deal of our financial into a lot of resources, and the behavioral health program is just one of those. And we develop education and support systems for our members ongoing on an international level. On a local level, myself personally, I'm a member of the 15th District within our union, which represents firefighters from Montreal, east of St. John's, all career firefighters, with the IAFF, and I sit on our behavioral health committee. So not only am I exposed to the concerns on a local level within my own department and my own association, but I'm also hearing the experiences and the stories for firefighters from across the United States and Canada. So it's a growing concern for us, and we try to develop a support system network in-house. We completely revamped it about 5 years ago, and our key message at that point in time was education. We need to educate ourselves better. We need to look towards the experts, identify things in the past that have presented itself, establish a trust system, because that's really important when it comes to a peer support program, which is incorporated underneath a behavioral health system. So you're right, the members, when they experience these things, they do take it home, and they do carry it back to the stations. And in society, we're all exposed to different events in our lives, and on a personal level, whether it be loss of family members, or addiction problems and so on, and those things are compounding, and to be a firefighter and expose yourself on a daily basis to others, the sympathy and the empathy that you have inside yourself Sometimes it actually compounds your own personal issues. So we recognize that, and our main priority is to support our members as much as possible. And that wouldn't happen no matter what we do as a union of the IAFF, you know, how much we invest into it, and no matter how much we bring back to our members and our associations across North America. These things really wouldn't be possible unless we had a support network of your local fire department and of your employer in your municipality. So it was a very extremely important collaboration relationship that had to be established with our association and the department, because one works hand in hand. We can't advocate and try to do what we're trying to commit to without having the support from the department. And Chief Colford has been there for us for that. And we recognize that. And in turn, she recognizes the good things that are happening internally, which helps the members of the department, because we're all in this together, and we're all after a common goal.
Sherry, do you want to elaborate a bit from your end on that too?
Yeah, and I mean, Craig put it really well, and obviously Craig comes from suppression, and you know, not only does he see the members impacted, you know, he can speak from even just his own personal experience of what he would have. You know, the types of calls that he would have been on, and even just knowing personally what that means, and the support that's needed for the members. So I've obviously relied quite a bit on him and, you know, the team that he's put together on what they need and the importance of building a solid program and a solid foundation for our members. And I also sit on the Mental Health Committee for the Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs. And, you know, a lot of what I see in-house, you know, I see happening across the country. So this isn't just a local, you know, a local topic that we need to really look into. It's across the country. And like Craig said, I mean, he's seen it on the committee that he sits on. So, you know, it is so important to collaborate. As you know, we always have situations where we don't always agree on everything, and that's the jobs that we have. But we have a great relationship, and we know that at the end of the day, we are all reaching for the same goal. And if our members, firefighters, dispatchers, cannot come to work because of their own, you know, challenges, then it's difficult then for us to be able to be there for the community. So that's why with an event like this, we reach out and say, hey, you know, they're there for you every day, and now's your chance to be there for them.
Yeah, we're talking about, of course, Raise the Bucket, that event happening this Sunday, which we'll dive into the details on in just a bit. But Craig, maybe we can talk a bit about what you hear, you know, from across the country, maybe some similarities to what you face here, maybe some differences, maybe some of the different challenges we face here when it comes to mental health support, if you can elaborate on that for us.
Certainly. A lot of the issues with firefighters, the international, we represent paramedics and firefighters throughout the United States and Canada. And a lot of the stories, you know, they're very similar. Whether you're in California or Vancouver or Florida or Newfoundland, we do the same occupation, just in different geographical locations. And the similarities on a trauma side, I can relate to almost every story that's spoken of in these committees. I've been in the department 23 years and involved with specialty teams for about 17 of those years. So, I've had first-hand experience in a lot of recoveries, a lot of tragic incidents, and I can relate. You know, I can relate on a very personal level. We can have some control over what we provide our members and our research and what we try to put forward on support network. But one of the most common areas of concern that we have as firefighter representatives is, you know, on our clinical side, the psychologists that are available, clinicians that are available, counseling that's available, not just counselors, clinicians, psychologists that are available within our healthcare systems, because it's been documented through medical professionals that first responders, the trauma they face outside of your normal day-to-day struggles has to be dealt with a different approach. Psychologists and psychiatrists themselves have drafted several reports on this, And so we find it challenging right across North America, is not localized to here, that the professional assistance that we need. We are peer supporters. We develop programs. We provide information, provide education for you. But there's a level where we cannot provide any more assistance, and we need to bring a member or guide a member or carry them through on a professional level. And even with our EAP programs, and it's a problem right across the country, that professional assistance, if we get to that point, these are some of the struggles that we have. However, having said that, because we're starting off in the ground roots, the last 4 years, as soon as we do a recruitment, we have recruits going through a session on mental health and how to identify signs and how to face those challenges and how to look for assistance. We do that from day one now. And it's sort of like, you know, we are being proactive as opposed to reactive. We do this so that in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years down the road, we don't have a phone call that a member is in, you know, extreme distress, and they've already gone past that point. We refer to it as the red zone. So we are hopefully in years to come, we will see the benefit of these new recruits coming onto the department in the last 4, 5, 6 years. And hopefully the tools we're giving them today will help them help themselves, so they can recognize some issues they're having, some struggles, dealing with traumatic events. So we can keep that balance there without having them going to the point where, you know what, when the phone rings, this is beyond my level of expertise now, and this member is in a very difficult situation. And unfortunately, suicide is part of that, that component, and we don't want to see anybody get to that stage. So the education for fire service and all first responders, in my opinion, is the very grassroots where we should all start, and it should be vocalized and educated through paramedics and police and corrections and fire, and all employers and all agencies should recognize that, because mental health, the cost of that society is in the $1 billion range. It's $1 billion plus a year as a result of that. So, you know, when you invest, our union invests a great deal of financial assistance in education, and the department has supported us in that as well. We feel that if we're spending $1 to educate a member, we'll get $3 back in return. It'll benefit us in the long run. So it's an investment for us, and it's an investment into our membership and investment into our members, so they can live healthy lives physically and mentally. And after they finish serving their community after 25 or 30 years, that they have a healthy retirement and get to enjoy the sacrifices, or get to enjoy a retirement after all the sacrifices that they have made throughout their career.
I know we've, used the term of some personal stories a couple of times today. If you're comfortable with it, Craig, maybe when we come back, we can kind of highlight a couple of things that you have heard as the president of the IAFF, if that's good with you after the break.
Absolutely.
All right. Craig Smith on the line, president of the International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075. And Fire Chief Sherry Colford on the line as well. And she is, of course, fire chief there with the St. John's Regional Fire Department. More coming up with our conversation all around mental health with our first responders as we are approaching a pretty good event, a pretty cool event, I should say. Dollar a Day's Raise the Bucket is coming up on Sunday. We'll talk a bit more about that as well. This is On Target St. John's.
Take a break. Join us weekdays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. as we discuss anything and everything that's happening now. It's all on the table during your VOCM lunch break.
All right, welcome back to On Target. Greg Smith jumping in for Linda Swain as she jumped in for Patty Daly this morning. So a bit of musical chairs here this afternoon and throughout the day, actually, on VOCM. We are talking with Craig Smith, President, International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075, and Fire Chief Sherry Colford with the St. John's Regional Fire Department. As this coming weekend, we are going to be raising the bucket for mental health and addictions care, a partnership with the fire department and the association, a great program known as Fighting Chance. And I just got an email. I don't know if Craig and Sherry know this. I just got an email from Nicole that we have now been confirmed to move the location to Mile 1, just outside of Mile 1 on Sunday. Obviously, Bowering Park a little. Not user-friendly at this point in time as cleanup continues from Hurricane Larry. But we'll be out in front of Mile 1 Center on Sunday. We'll dive more into that again shortly. Sherry, I guess we'll go right to you here. This is obviously a conversation that is needed more and more these days. Why is it so important for us to be here on air today talking this, highlighting what Fighting Chance means to your members and to the public at large?
Well, I mean, mental health has been, you know, more and more a topic, you know, over the last couple of years. But sometimes it's kind of forgotten that emergency responders, and I, you know, I speak as a fire department with our firefighters and dispatchers, that, you know, just as our own personal challenges, you know, that some face mental health issues, we also have to recognize that these same people that may have their own personal challenges and may be struggling with mental health issues themselves are also doing a job where they're seeing, you know, they're on scenes, they're seeing situations where it's probably the worst day of someone's life, but they're seeing this constantly. And I think that it's so important that more light be brought to the fact that, you know, mental health is in our public, but our emergency responders still have to go to work each day, and they are exposed to things that some of us will probably never see in our lifetime. And, you know, that's why I think it's so important to bring light to when that person shows up at your door and they're experiencing your worst day with you, they're going to experience somebody else's worst day later on that day. And that's compounded day after day. And like Craig said, when these members are done their career in serving the community, you know, we want to see them have a healthy retirement and be very proud of what they've done and to be able to look back on it in a positive light. And, you know, that's why we can't do it alone. And that's why we reach out to the community to look for, you know, that support that we need in order to give, you know, Craig and our firefighters the best chance possible.
Craig, obviously one way to highlight why this is so important is the stories that you, your members, have to share. I mentioned before the break, if you were comfortable to share some of those with us, you mm-hmm. said you were. So maybe I'll just let you tell us a story or two or a bit of insight into a couple of stories that really highlight the need for this event this weekend and ongoing support from the public.
Yeah, I have no problem doing it. I mean, what I will do, Greg, I will share my own personal experiences and stories as opposed to repeating, you know, things that have been brought to me mm-hmm. Because everybody's impacted differently. And even though you can have two firefighters or six firefighters on a scene, even those individuals are impacted differently. You know, I've been a member of this department for 23 years, and I still remember, for 23 years later, I still remember my very first death by suicide. And it was a hanging victim. And I was a young man. I was in my early 20s. And the mental health or the recognition of that, you know, it was non-existent. And to this day, I remember being asked, you know, immediately after leaving the property, wasn't asked, I was sort of told, you know, you're good. So we can keep the truck on the run. You know, everything's fine here. And at the time, being young and naive and new, you know, the answer was yes, of course, absolutely, I'm okay. Was I at the time? Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But reflecting back now, I know that has a significant impact on me because I still remember to this day as if I lived it yesterday. And me personally, when I go to calls and we're involved in instances where there's a loss of life, I find myself sort of feeling the pain and the anguish and the grief that the families or the victims' friends or whoever may be present, you know, I feel their pain, and that resonates with me inside every single call. And more often than not, I find myself reflecting back to calls over the years. And when it comes to firefighters, we even internally, we don't make an assumption as to, you know, what Craig was exposed to and what the person standing next to me was exposed to. And a great example of that just recently, actually, on a shift I worked over the summer, we had a call. It was a very traumatic incident. It was a for the family members It was an unusual. It was an unusual scene, and I had a member there. It was a fairly senior member, and that member had expressed to me, you know, after the call that, you know, that was one of the worst calls he's ever been on, you know, 11, 12, 13 years in the job, and for me personally, it probably wasn't one of my worst calls. However, it was a very significant call that's going to have an impact on me, and I'm going to hold on to that forever, I would imagine, just because of the details surrounding it. And, you know, one of my very first things I did, I was a lieutenant on the rescue that day, and we took a few minutes. We did a few drives around our district. We, you know, brought our heart rate back down. We sort of caught our breath again, and I dispatched in and told them we're still in service for now, but we need, you know, him and I needed to take a break. We need to take that breather. And I find myself after 23 years, knowing what I know and seeing what I've seen as far as, you know, traumatic calls, but even educating myself, I know personally that I need to take that break. A few years ago, I was on a call with a young child, and that poor child, the child lost his life. Sorry, sometimes I do get emotional. I'm sort of a hard shell, but most times, but the empathy inside me sometimes just comes out by itself. But the young child lost his life, and then that day, after 17 or 18 years in the job, I came home. My children were gone to school. This young boy was about the same age as one of my boys. And I came home that day for the very first time in my life. I felt almost as if I was as if I was under the influence of alcohol or drugs. It was such a weird feeling. It was the first time I've ever experienced that. And this was, you know, just only 3 years ago, about two or three years ago. And that caught me off guard. After knowing what I know and being involved in what I've been involved in, and I was very surprised. I was taken back about how it impacted my mind and my physicality, my body itself, physically how I felt. What I can say from that, I was able to say, you know what, this is not a normal event. I just experienced something that no one should experience. And I accepted how I was feeling that morning. I accepted the pain and the physical changes in my body and my mind and how I was thinking and feeling that day. I accepted it because I recognized that, you know what, this is an abnormal event. This is not a normal thing to happen. And it's okay for me to say that it's not normal. It's okay for me to take these 2 or 3 hours and just, you know, take a breath and get back to the ground and reach out to some of my friends who would have understand what I was going through. And that's what the peer support program was for me that day, because I needed it immensely. It's hard to – you can watch TV and you can see violent shows and you can watch the VOCMs and all the other media networks on reporting on incidents where there's a loss of life. But there is absolutely nothing. There is absolutely nothing that will compare or can relate or can bring you into our realm when you're seeing these things firsthand. The screaming of family members is in your peripheral. You hear those things. The anguish and the pain and all these emotions come together in one. And I tell you, it can have a major negative impact on an individual and first responder in the first responder world. And everybody is going to be impacted differently because of our personal experiences. And I say that because I've had several experiences over the last 13 years where I've lost close friends to suicide and or traumatic incidents or accidents. And the most recent was a very close friend of mine who I recovered from an accident in Tierra Nova, where he was washed in a river, and I had to go in by helicopter with the RCMP the next day, only because I was on scene with the family and my friends to try to find him, and I recovered him out of a river. And the determination to get you through those moments is really what you need. And you live it, and then after that call is over and after these emotions go through your body, you have to sit back and look yourself in the mirror and say, what do I need for myself right now? Because it's so important for us to not be it's so important for us to be selfish in that way, and firefighters and first responders in general are very, very unselfish people. We put our own lives at risk for your life. I don't know how much, I don't know what there's a more unselfish act than that in the world. And sometimes we find it hard to say, you know what, I have to shut everybody off right now, and this has to be about me. And unfortunately, we haven't, that is not the norm in first responder world or in the fire service, but we have to make that change. We have to recognize, you know what, you need to take care of you now, or people around you are going to suffer, whether it be from your employer or your employment or your peers at work, or more importantly, your family, those who are around you every day. So it's it can have a significant impact, and I tend to relate to those whose family members are going to grieve for the loss of lives. And I find myself all the time, you know, wondering who you are and who loves you and how are they feeling right now. And you know, I'm not sure if it's a healthy out for me, but it's something that I've done for my own career. And I guess we all do things individually, but I could speak to 100 firefighters. They may have a different take on how they get through that call and what reflections come upon them during the incident immediately and immediately thereafter the incident.
We're a bit late for a break, but Craig is providing some great insight on how the job impacts the mental health of your members of the firefighting community. Sherry, before we take this break, and just thinking as Craig's talking, clearly the job has its impact. The pandemic had its impact on everybody, but how did that pandemic that we are still living today, impacted your members? Because clearly they already have a significant task ahead when it comes to dealing with mental health issues.
Well, you know, when the pandemic first hit, it was new to everybody. So it was that, even the first initial, you know, how do we deal with this? Because our firefighters are still working. They're still going out to medical calls. We didn't have the luxury of closing down until we could figure out how to deal with this. So it was trying to get the proper PPE in place, get them all of the equipment they needed to keep themselves safe. You know, obviously, like we all do, we're all worried about our own friends and family and anyone who's vulnerable to, you know, the pandemic with their own health issues and that. But yet they're still coming into work and they're responding to calls where they're going into people's homes. And it's, you know, I heard the analogy one time, it was building a plane as you were flying it. And that seemed to be, you know, what we were having to deal with when the pandemic hit. You know, it's a little bit more normal now as a department of how we respond to calls, but that doesn't necessarily take away that anxiety when these guys are actually physically going out there and doing, you know, what they do best, but yet in these unusual circumstances. So, you know, on the mental health committee that I'm on, one of the things that's recognized is how long it takes to come down from some major event. This has been going on for, I guess, about 18 months. And we're already talking about what that's going to mean for years to come, for the impact that this will have on emergency responders, because it's been so prolonged and the anxiety has been for so long. So I know somebody had commented about, you know, the Fort McMurray fires that we had and how long that went on. And it was, you know, he said it took so long for people to come down just from that. And now we're 18 months and still continuing into a pandemic. So, you know, it certainly do make the environment even more challenging. And listen, you can't go to any of our fire stations and find anyone who says that they do not like their job. You go to any fire station, everybody loves their job. And that's where you're trying to keep them, is that they can continue to do what they love to do. So, you know, the pandemic has certainly given us a challenge, but we're just hoping that we can continue to provide all the supports that's necessary as we hopefully start to come out of this on the other side.
We are speaking with Fire Chief Sherry Colford, St. John's Regional Fire Department, and Craig Smith, President, International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075, as we are approaching a pretty cool event on Sunday. It's Dollar a Day's Raise the Bucket, supporting mental health and addictions care in partnership with the fire department and the IAFF. It's a great program known as Fighting Chance. Myself, Patty Daly, and a number of other folks throughout the day will be going up in the bucket of a fire truck. And we'll tell you how you can be involved coming up just after the break.
Got plans for midnight? Bring your VOCM along with the best soundtrack for every night, anywhere. The VOCM All Night Show, midnight on your VOCM.
And it is Greg Smith jumping in for Linda Swain here this afternoon for On Target. We have on the line Craig Smith, the president of the International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075, and Fire Chief Sherry Colford with the St. John's Regional Fire Department. Sherry, I've been mentioning that we have a pretty cool event on the way on Sunday. Raise the Bucket, $1 a day, of course. The program funding chance will be well supported through this event. Tell everybody a bit about what we're going to be doing on Sunday.
Yeah, so, you know, anyone who's going to be in the downtown area is going to see a ladder truck stationed in front of Mile One Center, actually on the parking lot just adjacent to it at Cabot Place. And I do want to give a shout-out to Mile One Center and Slate and Colliers, who gave us the parking lot, because obviously Hurricane Larry came through Friday and put a little crimp in our plans to have it at Bowering Park. So we will be at Mile One Center. We have such a great lineup of celebrity volunteers who are going to be in the bucket. They'll go up for their own segment of time, and each one are helping raise funds to go towards the fighting chance. And myself and Craig will be down there as well. So we're pretty excited about it. It's from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. So we encourage the public to come down, be a part of it. It's going to be a great event.
I had no hesitation jumping on board myself, along with Patty Daly here at VOCM, to come and sign up for a shift. And I thought about it after how much I'm afraid of heights. But, Craig, talk me through what I'm going to have to know for Sunday, getting up in the bucket.
You shouldn't have told us you're afraid of heights on open air. We're going to make note of that on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, great. What am I going to be in for?
The department is bringing down our 75-foot aerial truck that has a bucket attached to it. It's a 75-foot ladder, so you know we will advise the participants we can go as high as you're comfortable with, as low or as high as you want. But it's the dollar a day. They initiated this fundraising event and brought it to Sherry and myself, and you know we were surmising a little bit about what kind of events we could have, and the Raise the Bucket for the Fighting Chance program, which is sort of a side program that Dollar a Day has that's directed towards first responders and peer support and addictions programs within our own associations or organizations. And without Nicole and a dollar a day and the work they've done behind this, I mean, this event wouldn't be what it's going to be on Sunday. It's a full slate for the day. There'll be a lot of familiar names and faces down there from the public. We're hoping it's going to raise a lot of money and a lot of awareness, more importantly. Financially, yes, it's great, but the awareness is where I'm really focused on having this key points for Sunday morning and evening. We'll have firefighters down there. They'll go through safety protocols. They'll be harnessed up. They'll have PPE on. They'll get a little brief debriefing on expectations once they get into the ladder and get into the bucket. You know, it's a 30-minute interval, mm-hmm. and that's 30 minutes. We will keep notes of those who choose to come down before 30 minutes are up. We won't publicly embarrass you too much, but just out of fun. But no, it should be a great day. I think everyone's going to enjoy it. Our last confirmation yesterday was one we were really hoping to get confirmation on, and that's Dr. Janice Fitzgerald was one of our last confirmations yesterday. And you know, it's nice to have people like herself and that's doing the work that they're doing to come down and help us support this. And yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of red tape and behind the scenes. However, at the end of the day, it's all going to be worth it, and I'm sure there'll be some spectators around and families and pedestrian traffic, and with the Iceberg Alley concert that night, I'm sure there'll be a lot of eyes on that ladder as it's being raised in the air.
For sure. I just got a text from our colleague here at VOCM, Brian Callahan, saying 75 feet, $20 says you don't get to 40. Brian, I will send you my donation link in the next 5 minutes. $1 a day.ca/raise the bucket. You can go right there and make a donation and show your support for this very amazing cause. It's going to be a fun day on Sunday. We're going to be broadcasting live, actually, all day that day from 9 to 5 here on your VOCM. So if you're not able to make it downtown, down around the Mile 1 Center, you can tune in. We'll have a couple of special guests jump on with Paul O'Reilly, who will be manning that for us. And, of course, we'll also be sharing a lot of the insight into why we are doing it, why it's important, just like we've been talking about over the course of the last hour. Craig Smith is on the line. He's president, International Association of Firefighters, Local 1075. And Fire Chief Sherry Colford joins us as well, St. John's Regional Fire Department. Thank you both so much for taking the time, putting the spotlight on this very worthwhile event and cause within your members. Of course, we encourage folks to donate today. Again, it's $1aday.ca/raisethebucket. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
See you on Sunday.
As always.
Yeah, we'll see you Sunday.
Linda and yourself have been great to us in helping get our voice out. And when it comes to mental health concerns, I've been on the show a couple of times now. And whenever we need it, VOCM, you're always there to help support us in any way you can. So we really appreciate that.
And we'll be here whenever you need us again. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
All right, we are coming up to the 2 o'clock news update, so stand by for that. Greg Smith jumping in here today for Linda Swain and On Target St. John's. Again, it's $1aday.ca/raisethebucket. And you can make your donation known in support of Dollar a Day's Fighting Chance program. It's a partnership with the St. John's Regional Fire Department and the IAFF Local 1075. We'll see you down by Mile 1 on Sunday. Thanks so much.